In the early 1980s, scientists at a leading university robotics center watched as their newly created robot trundled from one end of its universe to the other in jittery fits and starts. That universe was no more than 20 feet across, consisting entirely of a cluttered basement storage room in a university building. Yet this was the only world that the robot's programming enabled it to know. The robot itself, an ungainly stack of computer processing units bolted to a rolling metal frame, was a rather homely traveler. It had been built for smarts, not beauty, and its powerful computer brain had been loaded with specially written software designed to help it think its way across the room. The robot had also been equipped with a rudimentary sense of vision, supplied by a video camera bolted to its metal frame, which would feed its digital brain with the sensory input needed to complete the trip successfully. The robot's objectives, as assigned by the scientists, were simple: to use its robotic vision to navigate safely through the crowded room, find the door leading to the hallway, and swing the big door open. The casual observer might find this an unworthy challenge for such an advanced machine, but the scientists knew the mission would stretch the robot's computational powers to the limit. They hoped the experiment would tell them important things about the ability of artificial intelligence systems to perceive and interact with their surroundings while on the move. In this experiment, movement was the issue, and the demands it placed upon the robot's computerized brain were apparent in the intense effort the robot poured into every painstaking step. Even the slightest forward motion was preceded by an agonizingly prolonged analytical pause. The challenge of sidestepping a desk, for example, might delay the robot for hours. To understand why the robot's progress was so excruciatingly slow, we have to understand the primitive fashion in which it perceived its surroundings. The robot's only source of information about the landscape that it was trying to traverse came in the form of the visual images fed to its computers by the video camera bolted to its frame. The robot depended upon these visual images to orient itself to the surrounding world, but each time the robot inched forward, those images subtly changed. Angles and distances shifted, shadows seemed to drift, some objects seemed closer, while others seemed farther away. The room was not physically changing, of course. What changed was the robot's physical relationship to each item in the room. Each time the robot moved forward, it saw a different picture of its world. These pictures were different in very subtle degrees, but these subtle differences were enough to bring the brainy machine to a standstill. Its processors lacked the computational power, and its software lacked the complexity to understand that the world portrayed in the later sets of images was nothing more than a slightly altered version of the world it had seen before. As far as the robot was concerned, any change meant total change, and each new image was showing him a completely new and different universe. Experience from the old world did not carry over into the new one. Reality for the robot did not flow continuously from one moment to the next, so each new visual image represented an entirely new reality that had to be fathomed from scratch. This processing placed a staggering load upon the robot's digital brain, and as a result, its forward progress was torturously slow. Finally, some 10 hours after it embarked, it made its way to the door that was its destination, grasped the metal lever in a crude robotic claw, and slowly tugged the door open. The completion of the journey triggered a short celebration among lab staffers. Afterward, the robot was rolled back to its starting point and instructed.